So sometimes, you know, we get into all kind of habits, and one of the habits we get in is the way we pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now, all that, that's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the only way I ever come to Him, there's something wrong somewhere. Suppose every time you addressed your wife, suppose I said, Mrs. Stanley. Well, after a while, she'd wonder what was going on. And you see, when you and I come to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sometime we ought to say, Lord Jesus, I really blew it bad. Or, Lord Jesus, I don't feel too good. I just need you to encourage my heart. Or, Lord Jesus, can you believe that? In other words, we should say it like we feel it to Him because He's my friend. Now, if I can't say it to Him in private like that, who am I going to tell it to? First of all, listen, remember this, don't forget this. You've never told Jesus a secret. You've never told Him a secret. Never. Listen, you may have one from somebody else, but you don't have any secrets from Him. You can't tell Him any. So, we should just relax and enjoy being His friend. And when we can't, what happens is we live a life that's not real. Listen, it's not real. Life is real. It's tough. It's difficult. It's hard. It's joyous. It's full of joy, but oftentimes it's full of frustration. So, you see, if you say, oh, dear Lord, in other words, you can't fool Him and tell Him how glorious everything is. And you know, sometimes you may meet some other friend, you say, well, how you doing? Wonderful. Deep down inside, they're just dying. But when two genuine friends meet and things are not right, and you say, well, how you doing? I'm not doing too good. Well, what about the situation we're going through? I blew it bad. Let me tell you what happened. You see, true, genuine friends, that's the way they operate. Now, think about this. We're talking about intimate friendship, not how's the weather. You see, a lot of times we talk about friendships, how's the weather, good. That's not friendship. Friendship is saying, hey, here's what I'm really like. I don't like it. You don't like it. Thanks for loving me anyway. That's what true friendship's all about. So, Jesus expressed His friendship verbally to these men. He gave evidence of it in the ways that I've shown you. But now I want us to look at this whole idea of intimacy. You see, intimacy speaks of closeness. When I think about some people living their whole life and never genuinely feeling loved by God or anybody, I can understand why they come to church and not sing. Why they don't really have any real, genuine smile on their face. Why they would run hither and yon and try this and that and the other trying to get something. Imagine how empty a person must feel who never feels genuinely loved and accepted just the way they are, not because of what they do or what they have or where they've been or what their position is. Just love. Now, Jesus Christ intends to be an intimate friend. So let's think for just a moment. What are some characteristics of real intimacy? So, I want you to jot these down, because what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to examine your own heart and just ask yourself the question, Lord, do I really sense this? Is this really our relationship? Do I sense You, Lord, as an intimate friend in my life? Remember in the Old Testament, I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible says that God said about Abraham that he's a friend of God. And two other times, Isaiah and James, the Bible says that Abraham was a friend of God. Now, he was not the only friend of God, but it's interesting that the Bible repeats that twice again. And that is that Abraham was a friend of God. They walked together, talked together, shared their heart with each other. You see, when you and I become friends with the Lord Jesus Christ and we sense an intimacy with Him, I'll tell you what's going to happen. First of all, you're going to start relaxing. Secondly, your understanding of who Jesus is going to take on a whole different perspective. Thirdly, you're going to feel loved by Him to a degree that you're not going to feel as long as He's just Savior, Lord, and life up yonder somewhere. But when He's your intimate friend, He awakens with you in the morning. He gets in the car and drives to work with you. He's at work with you all day. When things are tough, He's there. When things are great, He's there. He's just there. Why? Because the two of you have become one. And see, He said, when He prayed in that 17th chapter of John, He said, Lord, I want them to be one like You and I are. And when I think about the kind of absolutely wonderful, unhindered oneness that Jesus and the Father felt. And you see, Jesus wants to be that kind of a friend to us. Now think about this. There isn't anything in Him that's messing up your friendship. Not a thing. You said, I'd like to be a friend of Jesus, but what? He's too holy? He's too righteous? Is He too busy? No. You won't find anything in Jesus that's waiting for friendship. You'll find it in you. Well, what are some characteristics of real intimacy? Well, let me just mention several of them. Number one, acceptance. True intimacy requires acceptance. And is it not true that Jesus accepts you just the way you are? You don't have to do anything to get Him to accept you. You say, but I'm not even a Christian. Right. But my friend, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus accepts you the way you are. Not that He saves you. He saves you once you have received Him as your personal Savior. But that is, He accepts you the way you are. That is, He understands you the way you are. Even those of us who are saved, He accepts us the way we are. But you know what He's in the process of doing? Conforming us to His likeness. At no level in anyone's life does Jesus just leave you there. He's always in the process of changing us, but He accepts us. Another requirement of intimacy is closeness. That is, two objects moving toward each other. Jesus is always in the process of moving toward us. You'll never find Jesus walking away from you in a friendship relationship because, you see, you can't do anything to upset Him. You can't surprise Him. And you can't do anything to cause Him to reject you once you're a child of God. He understands. Closeness is an indication. A third element involved in intimacy is forgiveness. Now, what I want you is to relate all these to Christ. He's accepted us. He wants oneness with us. Let me tell you how close He wants to be. This is how close He wants to be. He wants to be so close that He decided, He chose to live, listen, not down the street a block, not cross town, not in the church building, but inside of you. That's how close He wants to be. Forgiveness. When there is intimacy between two people, you know what happens? This is true, genuine intimacy. Even before you confess it, you're forgiven. You don't have to ask me. It's good to ask me because you need to clear your conscience, but if I'm a true friend, since I accepted you just the way you are anyway, you're already forgiven. You know, think about this. How in the world could two people be friends and they say, well, now when you repent and get it all straightened out, then I'll forgive you. That's not friendship. That may be some kind of a distant relationship, but it's not friendship. Genuine friendship says you're already forgiven. And hasn't Jesus said that about you 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross? Everything you'll ever commit has already been nailed to the tree. And you know what He's already said? It's already forgiven. That doesn't mean you won't suffer for sin, but you're already forgiven. A fourth quality that's found in it is openness. That's what He was saying to these apostles. He said, I've told you things I didn't tell everybody. You're my friends. He says, all the things the Father's told me, I've told you. And you see, two people who are genuine friends can be open with each other. They may not tell everybody or anybody else, but they will open their heart and share with each other. Openness is absolutely essential to genuine friendship. And you see, first of all, you can't keep any secrets from Jesus. He knows them anyway. But let me ask you a question. Is it not true that at some point in your life, you just couldn't talk to Him about something? Just couldn't talk about that. In fact, didn't want to talk about it. Lord, I'm going to talk about all of these things over here. I don't want to talk about that. You see, Jesus wants to talk about everything. You know why? Because He's our friend. And He knows that whatever it is over here that I don't want to talk about, He knows I need to talk about. And the reason He keeps convicting me is He wants me to be open so we can talk about it, so we can get it straightened out, so that nothing is between He and myself that would hinder this marvelous gift of friendship that we have with Him, with each other. So openness. And then availability. That is, if I'm a true friend, I'm going to be accessible to my friend. One of the wonderful things about Christ is He has never been in a position where He wasn't accessible. Now, I have friends like you have friends. And sometimes you can't always get them. You can call them and you can't get them. Or they call you and you can't meet up. One of the wonderful things about Christ is no telephones, nothing. How close is he? On the inside. What do you have to do to get his attention? Nothing. You don't have to write, call, beg, scream, holler, yell. You don't have to pray over and over and over again trying to get his attention. Jesus Christ is an intimate friend. Instantly accessible about any subject, anywhere, anytime, under any condition. His answer is yes. That is, you don't have to come to him and work your way into his presence or read the Bible two more verses this morning or pray all the way down the expressway to work so that tonight when you get home, God will listen to you. No. He's a genuine friend and he's always accessible moment by moment, day by day. A sixth quality to be found in a relationship that's intimate is listening. Listening. Now, sometimes you and I pray, we think, God's not listening. Now, what's really going on? What's really going on is that we don't feel he's listening. Why isn't he listening? If you're one of his children, he's listening. Now, he may not agree with what you and I say, and we may tell him what we want or how we want him to change some circumstance, and he may not do that. That doesn't mean he's not listening. He's always listening. You see, you cannot build a friendship with anyone who will not listen. And one thing you'll never be able to accuse Jesus of and say, and haven't you had folks say this to you? You weren't listening. And sometimes we weren't. And sometimes we don't. But you'll never find Jesus distracted by something else when you're talking to him. He's not reading the newspaper. He's not trying to catch up with what's going on in the world. You know what he's doing? When you're talking, you have his undivided attention. And the reason I say that is we need to visualize Christ, the Son of God, as our friend, sitting there listening. And if you have to, just get you another chair. You get in the other chair and just say, Lord, we need to have a talk tonight. And just tell him everything on your mind. You say, suppose somebody were to walk in. You just tell them it's a private conversation between you and Jesus Christ. And then when you finish, they can come in. Because there's some things you don't want to tell anybody but him. I'll tell you one thing. There are a lot of folks who can't keep confidences. One thing for sure. Jesus won't tell anybody anything that you tell him not to. You can bet on him. Now, that does not mean that Jesus Christ won't tell somebody something about you. Because if a person is a true, genuine intercessor, their heart is sanctified and pure before God in their desires for that other person, genuine, true, holy intercession, God will reveal to an intercessor things that that person wouldn't ever know any other way. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying is that when you say, now, Lord Jesus, you know what I'm going through or what's happening in my life, you don't ever have to worry about him saying, I'm just going to tell everybody I know about that. Because he's a true, genuine friend. And so he's willing to listen. A seventh quality is sharing. When two people are genuine friends, they want to share with each other. And so think about what Jesus shares with you every day. Good health, strength, the ability to enjoy life. Even when we have needs, what does he do? He gives us just enough to keep getting us by. And he shared his life. And listen, the most important thing that Jesus Christ has shared is, listen, is himself. And our problem is we're not satisfied with him. We prefer what he has to offer, not him. Now think about this for a moment. When two people are genuinely in love, I mean they are really in love. Isn't it amazing? They can just walk right through the crowd. Don't see anybody. Don't pay attention to anybody. You know why? Because they're wrapped up in one another. If I love Jesus, if I'm really in love with him, if I genuinely love him with all of my heart, he will dominate my thinking. Everything gets thought through him. Every relationship, every activity, every schedule, everything is wrapped up in him. And you see, listen, here's the difference. The difference in being his friend and legalistically relating to him is this. Don't do this, don't do that. You must keep these rules. You must read your Bible. You must pray. You must do all these things. Listen, when you're Jesus Christ's friend, you can't wait to pray. You want to talk to him. You want to hear what he's got to say. You want to get in his word. What does he want to share with me? What does God want to say? And to me in my whole Christian life, I believe if I could say one experience that is superlative above all the rest, supreme above all the rest, the pinnacle of all the rest of them, is that all through these years, getting on my face before God and bringing something to him to say, now, Lord, I need you to show me exactly what to do. And I believe if I could give up most experiences in my life, the last one I would give up is that intimate relationship with him that so often, so many times throughout my life, in coming to him, he says, here's exactly what I want you to do. And he'll give me some passage of scripture that's just like it's got my name written from top to bottom. Now, I may have read it 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, didn't say a thing. You see, he loves you. He loves me. Jesus and I have been friends ever since I was 12 years of age. And it wasn't very long after that that I got in the Word and told God that I was in a mess, so I needed this and I needed direction, and somehow the Lord would speak to my heart so very clearly. You can say anything you want to say about the Bible, but I'm here to tell you, live by it, follow it, obey it. Jesus Christ will personally wrap up your problem in a passage of Scripture, open it up and show you the truth and give you simple, clear, concrete, precise direction. And I believe that I could stand here tonight if I had my diary and opened it up, and I could tell you till tomorrow morning specific things. The Lord says, here's what I want you to do. And now listen to me. Some of you are young and you're in your teens or your 20s or your 30s, and you say, well, you know, God hasn't done that for me. Get started. If you want it to happen, get started. Just get on your face and say, God, I want to build the kind of relationship with you that when I've got a problem, I come to you. I want to hear from you. I don't know. I frankly don't know how people just go through life and just sort of make decisions and just sort of pray around and say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to hope it's going to work out. Listen to what Jesus said. He didn't say, trail along back yonder somewhere. He said, follow me. Follow me. How am I going to follow him? First of all, I must know him. Secondly, if I'm going to follow him, I must obey him. In order for me to follow him and obey him, I've got to find out what he said. I've got to listen. And I've got to be willing to share my heart, what's going on in my life, what my needs are. Another quality of intimacy is giving. If I really have an intimate relationship with someone, they're not going to have to beg for anything. I want to give. Now you think about this. Jesus Christ is a giver. Our problem is we don't recognize what he gives us every day. He's a giver. Now think about this. You see, this is totally beyond my comprehension. I don't understand how anybody can come to church and quibble over giving God a tithe of their income when 365 days of every year, 24 hours of every day, 60 minutes in every single hour, 60 seconds in every minute, and a fraction of those seconds that make up a second, Jesus Christ is constantly pouring his grace and goodness and love and mercy and possessions upon that person, and they quibble over 10%. Totally beyond my comprehension. I'll tell you something else. It doesn't make sense. I'll tell you something worse than that. It is pure, downright selfishness. Self-centeredness, greed, and envy. That's exactly what it is. We are constantly, 60 seconds of every single minute, receiving the grace of God. Your heart keeps beating. He could stop it faster than that. The very idea that I can handle it without God. God's heart must be grieved over arrogance and pride. Well, if I'm going to develop an intimate relationship with him, two last things. Number one, sensitivity. You know, I don't have to come to Jesus to inform him about anything. He knows every single thing I think and every feeling that I feel. He is very, very sensitive to our feelings. When nobody else knows you're hurting, He knows you're hurting. When no one else knows that you're lonely, He knows you're lonely. When no one else realizes that you're frustrated, He knows all about it. He is absolutely, perfectly sensitive to every single one of our needs. Now, you know, if I think that I'm hurting and nobody else in the world knows about it, here's what happens. We have ourselves a pity party. Oh, God, nobody knows how I'm hurting, and Lord, and we go into all these things. We ought to stop and think, Jesus, my friend. Now, think about this for a moment. A lot of times, nobody can help you anyway, so there's no point in telling them. But you can always tell him, and listen, every single time without fail, he can help. Every single time without fail, he's there to help. He's a sensitive friend. One last quality that I want to mention, there are 10 of them there. One last quality I want to mention in intimacy is commitment. Now, usually when we think about commitment, we think about making a commitment to Jesus Christ and doing what we say. No, I want to talk about the other side of that. While you and I do have a commitment to make to Him in our friendship, think about the commitment He's made to you. You and I will never be able to make a commitment to Jesus Christ that will equal the one that He's already made to us. And that commitment is so vast and so profound and so deep and broad and wide, I wouldn't even begin to think about trying to describe His commitment to us except to say one or two things. First of all, He made a commitment to you that once you received Him as your personal Savior for eternity, listen to this, for eternity, you will be a child of God. Amen. That is a commitment. His commitment is so broad and so deep and so wide and so profound and so beyond our comprehension. His commitment is that no matter what you do once you become a child of God, the blood of Jesus atoned for that sin. Makes no difference what it is. This commitment is so vast and so beyond our comprehension, He said, I will never, not a split second of your life, I will never, never, under any condition, under in any situation, no matter what, I will never, never, never leave you. Now, we could just go on and on. We could take this Bible and start in Genesis and say, listen to these commitments. 1, 200, 300, 500, 10,000 commitments that our Lord has made to us. Now, why do I say all of that? Simply to say this. Jesus wants us to know Him as our friend. But more than that, as an intimate friend. And I think you will agree that all these 10 qualities of intimacy, Jesus is absolutely a perfect example of every single one of them. So teaching the children to sing, My Best Friend is Jesus, is a very, very wise idea. But I wonder when you and I are going to start singing that again. Are we too big, too old, too mature, too religious, too spiritual to sing, My Best Friend is Jesus? If we are, we're too big. Because your best friend and mine is Jesus. And you will never have one to match Him. He's God, the Son of God, the virgin-born Son of God, the incarnate Son of God. He's everything the Bible says He is. But I thank and praise Him tonight that He is also our intimate friend. And Lord Jesus, for being willing to come and to live within us, to abide in our heart, and to be all that You are within us. We just want to tell You, we love You, and we praise You. And we would never dishonor You by seeing You less than God. But we would also honor You by seeing You as an intimate, genuine friend, upon whom we can lean and never worry about falling, in whom we can trust and never worry about being disappointed, to whom we can bring our needs and never go away empty-handed, to whom we can make our prayers and know that we're always listened to. We just want to tell You that we love You and we praise You. In Your own name, amen.